Welcome to Formation. Today we'll talk about a spiritual and musical journey. Join us. Welcome to Formation. My name is Shannon Moore. This is a weekly podcast from University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas, where every week I sit down and just chat with people about their faith and their faith journey. Today, I am so excited to have with me Reverend Dr. Todd Prickett.
Thank you, Shannon.
Todd, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
So you are our choir master and minister of music here
Correct.
At University Christian Church.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been here?
This time around, 8 years.
Okay.
Just almost 8 years. I was here back during my master's degree for 3 years in the 90s.
So okay.
This is my second trip.
Very good. And you are originally from Kansas.
I am. Yeah,
okay.
I grew up in a Disciples Church in Kansas. I was actually going to go to Phillips University. And it just felt a little too small to me.
Okay.
And an admissions counselor said, you should really check out TCU. And the rest is history, I guess you might say.
So the place where you grew up, was it rural or was it a small town? Or
very, yeah. We had, oh gosh, about 500 people in our town.
Okay.
A tiny K through 8 school. The high school had closed several years before I got there. So that was quite a different experience from Fort Worth. Probably had 10 people in my class most years for those first 9 years of school.
So then where did you go to high school?
So we had a high school in our district, which was about 15 miles away, but students in our school chose from about 3 different high schools that were all kind of equal distances.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Lyons High School, which is a little bit bigger town, but still only a town of 5,000 people.
Okay.
So by Fort Worth standards, I'm a very small town boy.
Do I remember correctly, was it because of having to go to high school? And you got your driver's license really early or something. I remember you telling me one time.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's still this way, but farm kids back in the 90s, at least, could get a driver's license at age 14 to drive to and from school and work.
Okay.
And so I think they did that because kids often would drive the farm trucks from the grain fields to
right.
the elevators. And that was a real normal sort of thing. I just used it to drive to and from work.
Was yours a farming family?
No, my dad ran at the time, the littlest bank in Kansas, mostly did agricultural loans, that
okay.
sort of thing. And my mom was a teacher when I grew up, math and science.
So small town, small mm-hmm. church?
Yeah, so we actually went to church in the town called Lyons, which is probably why I chose to go to high school there, because we already had some friends there.
Mm-hmm.
Small Disciples Church, we probably worshipped with 85 to 100
okay.
Most weeks. Yeah.
What was the music like in that church?
It's very traditional, also organ-led. There was a choir.
Pipe organ?
Yes, electric pipe organ.
Okay.
We sang out of a hymnal. I think it was published by like the Word Publishing Company. So,
oh, yeah.
So kind of Baptist-y sorts of hymns by our standards
mm-hmm.
Today. But yeah, that's definitely where my traditional music roots came from.
So what was sort of the family schedule for church? Like, was it an every Sunday thing? Was it a...
Oh, every Sunday. Yeah. My wife jokes that they would even go to church on vacation, wherever they happen to be. We weren't quite that faithful, I guess. But yeah, if we were in town, we were at church, absolutely.
So you're in this small town, going to school and church in a little larger town, but not a big town.
Huge.
So how did your love of music develop? How were you drawn? I'm asking, in what ways were you exposed to more classical
sure.
music? Because that's not really the norm usually in small towns.
No, it really wasn't. We were lucky to have music teachers in that tiny school where I grew up. And my maternal grandfather was my favorite relative outside my nuclear family. And he was a dance band leader all through World War II.
Oh,
he led
wow.
a dance band. He wrote the charts that they played, five or six instruments. And so I think because of that connection I felt with him, I always felt kind of a draw towards music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just fell in love with music in high school, both band, classical band, jazz band, and choir. I did every musical thing that was available to me.
What did you play?
I played trombone.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I did. I haven't played it in years. I think I still have one in the garage, but you probably wouldn't want to hear it today.
But choir, I'm guessing, was where the...
That's what I loved the most. When I came to TCU, you kind of at that time had to choose voice or an instrument. Mm-hmm. And there was no question. I definitely wanted to sing.
Yeah. So when did you get the conducting bug?
That's a great question. I don't know if I can pinpoint it really. When I came to TCU, I thought I was going to be a Broadway singer. That's what I really wanted to do.
Oh, musical theater?
Musical theater.
Had you done that in high school?
A little, not a lot. I think I had the role of Albert Peterson in Bye Bye Birdie as a senior. That's about as much as I did. Mm-hmm. And I loved being on stage, and I knew that. And then getting to Fort Worth, I started to realize that this hay fever that I had dealt with for quite a few years already was really a pretty severe seasonal allergies that I had to deal with. And that and singing just don't combine very well. I went to an allergist, started injections, did all of that sort of thing, but just decided I didn't think singing full-time was what I wanted to do, and then caught the conducting bug from my professor of music, Ron Shirey, who was also here at the church.
Right.
And I guess I took a junior level class in choral conducting from him. And then he and Betty Bowles offered me the position of assistant choir master here during my senior year of college, which is, I guess, when I kind of decided on that career path, you might say.
Was UCC sort of the first larger church that you had had gone to? Do you remember what your impression was first coming?
Well, I think I auditioned for choir at TCU on a Wednesday or a Thursday morning with Mr. Shirey, and in his typical fashion said, "You need to come to the church choir with me, and I want to see you Thursday night." So I showed up. He placed me right next to his graduate student, and I'm sure looking back on it, he wanted a report from him as to how well I succeeded or didn't. And I still remember being completely overwhelmed by the sheer volume. I hadn't heard that many adult singers in one space before, I don't think, that were really trained, knew what they were doing. And probably from that first moment, I kind of was sold, mm-hmm. you know. It was an interesting way that my faith, which was really important to me at that age especially, and music kind of collided almost in a way that I hadn't fully experienced.
Was it a spiritual moment, you think?
There were spiritual moments within those first several weeks. Mm-hmm. Some of those anthems that we sang my first year or two, I will still bring back now and then. They're just great monuments of church music that I had had no exposure to before I got here.
Were some of those? Do you remember?
When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, of course. Oh. The Gilbert Martin was one of those. One that we're actually going to sing in the next month or so is called Interpreted by Love by John Ness Beck. That's one I still remember. There are so many. The Spirit of the Lord is Upon Me, Edwin Elgar. Just amazing. Great. I love English anthems, especially Greater Love Hath No Man Than This by John Ireland.
Now, was your exposure to that here?
Absolutely here. No exposure prior to this.
Okay.
Would
that be part of the conducting repertoire at TCU or?
Maybe a few pieces. Back then we had chapel choir at TCU that sang for weekly chapel services at Robert Carr. And as a graduate student, I helped conduct that group. I was a graduate assistant for that group, but I was never in that ensemble. TCU has had a long history of singing sacred and secular repertoire in their choirs. Mm-hmm. So we sang a lot of those pieces, but most of them were through the church choir.
Okay, and that really sounds like put you on a trajectory.
It did, and I really never turned back from that point.
I want to hear a little bit more about the rest of your education after we take a break, but I do have to lift up and see what your opinion is of my favorite anthem, My Eternal King.
Oh, yeah, that would have been one of them too, Jane Marshall. Yeah, absolutely love that one.
Yeah, for sure. That's a That's a special piece to me.
It's hard to beat that one.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back and continue this conversation with Todd Prickett. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God is doing in the world. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11, simple worship in the chapel at 9:30, or visit our 10:10 service in Walker Hall. We are a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on our faith journey. We practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Discover more about our programs and upcoming events at universitychristian.org and stay connected by following us on social media. Well, we are back continuing this conversation with Todd Prickett. All right, Todd, so you move from this small town in Kansas, you come to the big city, Fort Worth, TCU. Your undergraduate degree is in
music education.
Music education. Mm-hmm. Did you then teach after you graduated?
I didn't actually. I went straight through to my master's degree
here.
I stayed. I was actually the very first graduate with a master's in choral conducting that TCU ever produced.
Oh.
I was the only one in that class. There were two in the class that followed me.
Mm-hmm. Is that a large program now?
Not large, I wouldn't say, but steady. They've had 1 to 3 master's students for many years now, probably ever since then, honestly.
Okay. Yeah. Then where did you go?
So after that, I did apply for some teaching positions as well as some church positions. I ended up at First Presbyterian in Arlington, Texas, where I stayed for 2 years. During that time period, married my wife, Amy.
Okay. Who you met at TCU.
We were TCU classmates. And stayed there a couple of years. It was a wonderful congregation. Learned tons from all sorts of experiences, mostly positive, as any church position is. And after a couple of years, decided I really wanted to finish up my education and do a doctorate. So upon the recommendation of Ron Shirey, looked very seriously at Michigan State University and the teacher there, Charles K. Smith, who I did eventually go to study with. And we were there 3 years and then kind of bounced around after that.
Okay, at two different churches or?
A little bit of both, actually. Mostly higher education positions for a few years. Applied all over the country as I was finishing. And ended up at Indiana Purdue University in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was there for 6 years, kind of the city of churches, it's described as. we had our children during those 6 years, so it was tough having a full-time job during the week to have a full-time church position, a full church position. So we just sang as volunteers in the Presbyterian church there in town.
Okay.
Made a lifelong friend in the organist that was there. After that, took a position at University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. Was there 3 years in an interim position. And as university politics go, it was going to be an interim position again for a fourth year. And I needed more financial stability for my growing family. And so we moved to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and took a full-time church position. And so that's kind of where I shifted back from university work to church work.
Church work.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the importance of, well, first I'm going to go with choral music. To your faith, but mm-hmm. also to the larger congregation. How do you think choral music affects our spirituality?
We could talk for an hour about this. For me personally, this is a part of what I've kind of developed as my own mission statement, almost, as to what I think music ministry should do when it's fully working at its best. And that is, it makes real the Scripture. It makes Scripture come alive for me. I can hear someone speak a text, and then I can hear an anthem on the exact same text, and it resonates with me in an entirely different way mm-hmm. when it's set to music. It doesn't mean I can't relate to a good sermon. It just means if the anthem is good, I'm going to walk away from the service with the anthem in my head mm-hmm. more often than I would the sermon. And that's just the way my particular brain works. But in talking to people, I know a lot of people have a similar experience.
Yeah, I memorized the books of the New Testament with a song.
With the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's because it's a mnemonic device. I'll hear a scripture reading during a worship service. And if there's an anthem on that text, I'm singing it in my head the entire time that somebody's reading it, noting all the different verb tenses and, you know, everything mm-hmm. about it that's different. So it's just the way my brain works. But I also think music is really important, especially for young people in our congregation, for faith formation. It's a part of how they learn the stories of the church, mm-hmm. And they learn the tenets of our faith, what are important, what we value. And that's why I think it's so important to pick good hymns. I spend a lot of time each week picking hymns mm-hmm. To make sure that they align with our mission and values here at UCC, and that that they are somehow helpful to people on their faith journey mm-hmm. And not just a trite sort of, you know, not to say anything disparaging, but after working in a contemporary music service for several years, I think I sang Awesome God about 300 times. And that text is about this long, and it loses some interest after a while.
So. Well, and I know there's a way that music can just speak in a different way. One of my favorite scriptures is, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will sure. give you rest." And that was in the Requiem that the choir offered for our Maundy Thursday service. As a matter of fact, it was a solo by your son.
It was, yeah.
But it just brought tears to my eyes because it hit different. It not only was it the words, but it hit here. The sure. setting of that tune and the orchestration that went along with it just brought that, as you said, that text to life in a different
way. And I think that's what good music does.
Yeah.
That's what my whole doctoral document was about, was that what makes a good quality piece of music. It's three things I determined. One was it has to be a quality text. There has to be a good quality text that can stand alone. Secondly, there has to be good quality music that can actually stand alone, even if there was no text. And then the third element is that they have to blend in a way that elevates both of them to a higher plane than either one would be by itself. Mm-hmm. That was my supposition, and I hope I supported it well enough.
Yeah, well, you must have.
Well, it ended up with a positive result.
Yeah,
so
you
guess.
Got the doctor. Do you have a favorite hymn?
Oh, gosh.
Or
probably Praise to the Lord the Almighty, Lobodein Herren, for a lot of reasons. I love the text. I love triumphant hymns. Mm-hmm. I think that tends to be my go-to. But then on top of everything else, it was the processional in our wedding. That my wife walked down the aisle to, a setting of that by Martin Shaw called Processional. So that's probably what I would pick, although depending on the day, there are all sorts of other favorites.
Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about is the choir itself.
Okay.
You are the leader of a group of people larger than a lot of churches.
True.
How do you build community or in that group, or is it a natural sort of thing that happens when people sing together?
Some of it's natural, I think. I mean, you've sung in choirs, so you know that some of that bonding just happens because we all have a common purpose, mm-hmm. right? We're serving alongside one another. I think Alan Lutz would say the same thing here, that when people are serving together, that creates that bond. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, music seems to have a communal element. When we're all breathing together, we're all expressing the same text in the same way at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to be a loner or an outsider when you're involved in that process. Even someone who might, I would say anybody that's looking for a place where you just want to absolutely feel a part of something, you're going to find that in a choir. It's part of its DNA almost.
Yeah. And in a certain way, you could get a similar experience if you really engage in singing the hymns, because most people will breathe at the same time, and the organist will take breaths.
I agree.
But in a choir, it's almost like a family.
It is. It has a family atmosphere.
It does. And it takes a good leader to have a good family. So I think everybody would say what a great job you do and how appreciative we are of the work that you do with the choir and our ensembles and handbells and all the good music stuff that we have here at UCC.
Well, so. as Russ often says, I mean, the honor and privilege it is to lead this group of people, it's second to none.
Yeah.
Yeah, very meaningful to me as well. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. If you would like to come and talk about your faith journey, I would love to hear from you. Just shoot me an email at formation@uccftw.com. Take care. See you next time.